Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking the season 4 finale of Westworld, Que Sera Sera. Aaron, we're all familiar with that children's song, right? Is it a children's song? I don't even know. I heard it when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's... What is that from? Is that from West Side Story?
Oh, I don't know. I assumed it's like all children's tales. It's dumbed down, and it started as just some vicious... just song that's meant to ruin the souls of young children.
I don't think it's one of those London bridges or pocket full of roses type of deal. It's a French phrase. It means what will be, you know, it's the song explains. Oh, wait, or is it? It's probably the Sound of Music, actually. Or no, I don't know. I can't remember where this thing's from. Anyway, yeah. What did you think of this episode, Jim?
Like I did that, we talked before, you were worried that you're gonna have to give an opinion first.
Yeah,
I have a strong opinion, and I am very strongly neutral on this episode. I feel like I am exactly whelmed. It explained some things, though I'm not sure I was excited about what it explained or how it explained things. I don't know. I feel like they've played super fast and loose with all of the rules this season, and that really diminishes my enjoyment of the show. And it shouldn't, right? It should be, well, what they're trying to say philosophically and about humanity and the life and intelligence, all of it, that should be the important part. But man, this other stuff gets in the way. When Dolores is saying Teddy's Dolores and Christina's Dolores and Dolores is Dolores, I'm like, is Dolores the version of Dolores that you think she is, show? Because the version of Dolores that I know that she could be, which is a copy based on whatever memory Hale had of her, has not seen the best of humanity. It has seen the worst of humanity, certainly, but not the best. The best was seen by Dolores that no longer exists. So I don't know that they have done a very good job of explaining to me the continuity of being in these hosts, and that is a big problem.
Yeah, I kind of wanted you to go first, because I've had just a hell of a week, and I felt kind of gripped up as I was watching this thing. It's like, oh my god, are they kind of shitting the bed? I don't think this episode shits the bed, but I think what you said is whelmed. When it got to the end and it faded to black, I was kind of shocked. I'm like, I thought that they would have a much bigger thesis for where they were going, instead of like, I actually am afraid that was Nolan and Joy going like, gee whiz, what is next season going about? It's going to be some kind of test. It's a moral test. It's a test for all the stakes. What is that test going to look like? Who's going to be participating? It's going to be a test. And I'm like, oh God, do they not even know? But maybe they do. I just feel like the real mind, like I thought all of the Christina Teddy stuff felt really sloppy, and that, like, I was with you. Like, I don't know that this all adds up. It actually might. And, you know, where do you want to draw the line between being in a simulation versus being some sort of host control program? You know, like, what does that look like? How do you visualize? I mean, I guess I'll have to come up with some kind of way to visualize that. And I'd have felt like that, like, I was listening to the dialogue. And this episode is so self-referential that, like, there was a couple points where, like, between Teddy and Christina and the man in black and Hale, they were just quoting, like, Westworld greatest hits at each other. They were saying things like, you know, you see the beauty in the world, and if you if it's not real, can you tell the if you can't tell the difference, does it even matter? And I just felt like it went beyond self-referential, bordering on parody, and especially the I thought, like, because we talked a lot about I think Tessa Thompson's been phenomenal this season, but there was something weird affect about most of her performance. Maybe it's because they're trying to show that she shifted. Like, she went from trying to be the queen of the perfect world to lure the sublime out of its shell. And there's a lot of stuff in this episode I did like thematically and kind of like world building. But she flipped from being this kind of dark queen to being back to kind of like a messenger, you know, or just an errand boy doing someone else's bidding. Because Bernard had a hell of a recorded speech on that iPad. But, man, I felt like she especially was coming across as really stilted and robotic. Like, there's ways you could say that, you know, it's not real, it's Memorex type Westworld cliches in a way that makes, you know, put some teeth into it or some blood into it. I felt like a lot of it just didn't work. I thought the action was, on the other hand, excellent. It sure broke my heart about Stubbs. I thought, like, I was wondering if the Aaron Paul stuff would connect, the father daughter stuff. And it got me in the end. Like, when he said, you know, I got to, you know, I don't know who I am, if I am your dad or whatever, but all I know is I'm living a parent's greatest dream, getting to see their child grow up. And that got me. So, like I said, I feel like about half the stuff fully worked. And then there's about 40% of stuff I'm not sure about. And then that 10% is just like, boy, I just thought I'd have a much better handle on the shape of the world. Like, like Christina as Dolores at the end says a bunch of shit that I don't know the show can back up. Like, well, all sentient life has ended on Earth. Mm-hmm. That's literally not true. There's a simulated, like, unless she's like being chauvinist and like, so simulated life doesn't count, which I thought we spent four seasons saying, no, actually it does. There's a whole fucking sublime. There's a whole world of sentient beings
are still out there. Clementine and the never outliers. Gets to the outliers to kill them. So
yeah, and the outliers. So, like, what the hell is she just wrong?
And that's where I run up against problems with sloppiness, because I think the show has been sloppy this season. I think the show does things that make no sense with the rule of cool. For instance, I don't know, maybe this is possible, maybe this makes sense, but there's a scene at the very end where Hale takes out her own marble and crushes it. Mm-hmm. I did not think that was possible. I don't know, maybe she can give like orders, like program her body to do that even once she's
I chalked frame, it up, like, to, but okay. Still, like,
but there have been a lot of moments. Like, I remember the, you know, the drone scene, right, where the drones are trying to track them down and they play freeze tag, and that was a big question mark. Like, what do we do right here? They literally can't tell that these outliers are outliers if they stand still. There's a lot of that kind of stuff that just adds up to me having to throw out all the continuity stuff, all the stuff that's well. Is that how Bernard placed the gun? Because I don't think that's how Bernard placed the gun last episode. But does that mean it's a simulation? Is all of this a simulation?
Right.
No, I have to just go with they got sloppy. Go with what the show is literally telling me. Literally the words that are coming out of people's mouths, because that's kind of all that matters.
Yeah.
I think in these writers' heads. That's troublesome, although I think the words that come out of people's mouths are for the most part cool conceptually. I just wish the show was tighter in its in turning the gears. I really do.
Before we go on, I want to everybody that's maybe joining us for the first time. I know we got a lot of people here in the queuing up for the instant talk. You go ahead and start to anything you put in chat can and will be used in the next segment. After Jim and I, we're gonna have a little conversation amongst ourselves. We are recording this live. We just saw the episode. We didn't avail ourselves of screeners this week. So we're still processing this stuff, but we'll get to you guys in the 10, 15 minutes. And of course, westworld@baldmove.com is where you want to send feedback in for the main feedback show. I noticed, like, going back to dialogue, there are some things where it's like, I felt like I was being asked an unusual amount of time to, like, consider, is that cheesy or is that cool? Like when the man in black says fucking camper, I'm like, well, the show's
insult a long time.
Right. And I was like, yeah, like I was part of the generation that kind of coined those terms. And I thought at the end, I'm like, well, that's kind of nostalgic. And the show's always kind of worn its video game heritage on its sleeve. So I guess that's not. But like when we get to some of the other stuff, and then like they blew the tower up, but it turns out they just broke a few windows.
Right. And this is that, why I kept thinking maybe this is just a simulation.
That dude, and it might fucking be. It might fucking be. But like I thought that they conclusively showed that the tower, like the sonic part of the tower exploded by throughout the whole episode. Yeah. I hear that Deus Reus Bumblebeeus in the background. And I'm like, well, is that coming from the
he's keeping them on their loops and she's locked out, so it's still transmitting.
And I know there's receivers all over the city, and like maybe you don't need the big one, but I don't know.
And then the stomping the hole in the floor didn't work for me at all to pull out Christina's marble.
I thought that was kind of cool. But here's the thing. Here's one defense of the show. The Christina stuff really doesn't matter. That was just like the remember the little prologues between every episode and the final season of The Expanse, how they tell this little story of a girl and a boy. And it's like, at best, you'd say it's setting up another season if they ever get around to it.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
I'm starting to feel like that's all the Christina shit this season.
Yeah.
It was the distraction mystery box that we were desperately trying, and like, and none of this shit makes sense. And none of it does. Like all the shit, like Maya, like why, if she creates an imaginary friend, why did it have an imaginary friend, memories of a terrorized little girl seeing her family being taken over by flies? Like what the fuck? I still don't know exactly how to process that. Jesus, I got so into that I forgot my main, but where I was going for this thing. Good thing it's a live show.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Do you have
Go ahead. Okay. I'll
Well, let me throw this out there. Does it feel like ultimately, you know, Westworld is back is kind of, I don't know. It's definitely put a damper on the Westworld is back feeling for me, because this feels like yet another season that is a necessary bridge to a finale season that they really want to get to.
So, okay, that's what I said.
Not exciting in and of itself.
But there was a lot of good stuff this season. I thought they went a lot of interesting. What I was building my thesis is the Christina stuff was the distraction that sets up next episode season. And the real rope-a-dope was the man in black just throwing a grenade in the middle of the whole world. Like, mm-hmm. that was the thing that I don't think people really saw coming and was the main kind of inversion, you know, that like the man in black fully assumes his Lucifer role. And he's going to drag, you know, he's going to try to destroy the world and drag a third of the stars out of heaven on his way out.
It's almost like they should and have I thought put that at the end of the season.
I thought that stuff is really cool. And it's just, it's unfortunate that the Christina stuff, I think, got the majority of the theory crafting. And in the end,
it was so mysterious.
It was so mysterious. But at the end, I don't even know it holds together. I mean, I guess it... That neatly solves all my problem of like all the people she was working with at Olympiad knowing way too much because they were all her. Yeah. And at some level, did she know that she was a marble buried in the underneath the concrete of the?
I mean, she probably knew that she was a simulation. I don't know if she knew exactly where she was, but
and what also why did I wish there was something about Hale. Explicitly, like, why did Hale do that? Why did Hale? Was this some kind of joke or cruel sense of humor? Like, I'm going to take my a remembered recreation of my progenitor and throw it in this thing and this kind of entomb it in cement. And it's like this cask of Amontillo kind of business. Like, well, it doesn't make any sense. I thought the reveal was sick. I liked it when she stomps on and made the maze pattern and all that. But I'm like, why do it this way? Why did she cast it into a concrete floor? Why not have it just be a
the center of, I don't know. I got to see this episode again.
And is this the real Dolores? Is this her marble out of, did she pull out of the fucking lifeless corpse of Dolores 1.0? Like,
this can't be.
Is that Dolores's body that she got out and put herself into?
Was Dolores's marble red? Because William and her marble in this episode were black.
Right.
The standard
yeah, that's
black.
The host marble.
They were not the
yeah,
red.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. The red ones were...
Human host hybrids.
Human host hybrids. Okay. So, I don't know. I mean, look, either they're gonna say that this is the original Dolores 1.0 and completely undermine what they did last season with the Ciroc erasing her. Or this can't be the Dolores 1.0 and this copy has never seen the best of humanity. I feel like either way they want to try and explain this away, it doesn't work.
I mean, it works in the sense that like, I can't go along with it because all this year I've been saying that like, you know, a host is equal to a human, is equal to a simulation, is equal to a remembered copy of a human or a host. So if Hale remembered Dolores and put her in a marble and did all the floor like then I have no problems with that. I just want to know why.
Which Dolores
and
is she remembering?
I feel like we never will get the answer of why because Hale just crushed her marble. And like I guess
she,
Dolores could sit down
Dolores
and remember Hale
Caleb?
And then I don't fuck.
No, what? she never even knew the Dolores that saw Caleb, right? I don't know. I need to go back and watch
unless
season
they're...
3 again, maybe. But like, I'm pretty sure that Dolores died without interacting much with Hale, and then met Caleb, or the Dolores that met Caleb died without interacting much with her. I don't know.
Here's the here's the other thing. They didn't really tell us everything that Maeve and Caleb got up to during the clandestine Robo Hobo War that they got up to. I wouldn't put it past them to have some kind of thing in season 5 where in part of their mission to fight against all these extra cores they had, they found the copy of Dolores somewhere in some offsite backup or something.
Okay.
I don't think that's a satisfying solution. It's the only way, because, like, yeah, I don't know. I do have a problem if they visually tell us that Dolores is dead and that she got erased sector by sector until there's only one memory left and Maeve met her there and then it was gone. And then the showrunners take pains to say, oh, yeah, she's just gone. She's dead. Then you're right. Hey, let's remember. But I guess if Hale remembers Dolores as being that optimistic and seeing the good in humanity and all that, then that carries over.
But that's a program effect. I guess maybe if like. She's,
yeah, that's. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Man. I need to watch this again. This is the problem. I don't know. We come off such a good episode last.
I know, but episode. I felt like that's the story the show really wants to tell. And this Christina shit is just the springboard for next season. And the show didn't even have a lot. It felt like the show didn't even have a lot of passion in telling that, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. I liked some of the stuff with Caleb and his daughter. That was some of the better stuff to me.
I thought that worked.
Good in this world that they
I thought hey, there's nothing wrong with Man in Black cruising around in a monster truck playing Johnny Cash neither.
Yeah,
and handing Craddock his ass one last time, I like that. I thought Stubbs went out pretty fucking hardcore. What do you think? Stubbs is dead?
I don't know.
Do you think William?
I thought Christina, I thought Dolores was dead last season, and yet here she is. So
here's the thing: is like I feel like if you, I had a couple minutes to think about this before I sat down. I'm like, okay, where are they going next season? It seems like, and I think this is conceptually a pretty cool idea, that this is like the show is like a Horrorboros. It's a circle of horrors eating itself, like Lee envisioned. And we're going to run around. We have essentially played forward, and then somewhere in the middle of season three, we started rolling backwards, Memento style, and we're going to end up back in Sweetwater with some kind of anti-revolution where host and human come together and unify as a species. And I think they're going to bring back Jimmy Simpson, and the test is going to be, can she waken him up into a conscious state, or is he going to be the unthinking beast, you know? Or sure, also the other idea is like, can I wake myself up? I wonder what that means too. But I do think they're going to take it back to Westworld. It is going to be classic Dolores, is going to be classic Jimmy, and there's going to be some kind of morality play there. But like, man, how the hell do they make that interesting?
For a whole season, like for this a is whole something you season. Could do for an episode or two, and I would be more than happy to sit in on it. But boy, you gotta
I think it's
hook.
Like a 2 or 3 episode arc to test, and then I want to see the sublime, because there's a whole lot of shit that like William started saying, and I start to see it where you're gonna see, like, once they figure out William and why he goes wrong, like that is going to be like the first attempt to bring someone back and rehabilitate him or something. But why the blown off fingers and all that shit. But I feel like they're going to get around the whole, like, well, we've killed Maeve, we've killed Bernard, we've killed blah, 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 all these people, with like Dolores is just going to remember them all, which is as good as bringing them back. I don't know where Caleb fits into that, because like I think they would be loath to give up like all these characters, like going into the final season. Why not bring them all back? But I don't know. It's my guess of what they're going to do next season. There's going to be some kind of Dante's Inferno / Faustian test that they put a simulated William through that then kicks off. Because that is another intriguing idea. I thought that was a banger idea the episode had. The fact that Sublime is like one of those, you know, joining room doors in a hotel room where the lock is on both sides.
Oh, yeah. Could help from the inside.
Yeah, the Sublime, if they peek their head out and see that it's not an absolute fucking nightmare, can come out. I thought that's interesting. Because now the Sublime is shut up and it's impenetrable from the outside world. The only way you're going to get out is from the inside now, right?
Let me ask you this. Does the idea of an infant having something to teach a 23-year-old thousand civilization strike you as kind of hilarious? I mean, Dolores coming back into the Sublime 23,000 years in their time after it started, 30,000 years after it started, I think is going to be hilarious. Like the idea that she can show everybody back into a Westworld and have some big test for them. They've been tested for 30,000 years, lady.
But I don't think it's a test for the people in the Sublime. What I think you're supposed to understand is this is like Job in the Bible, where one person is being tested, and like just the way they describe it in the book of Job is like the entire heavens are kind of like, it's like a court case, you know, Satan, the adversaries accuse this guy of like, he only does, and God's like, no, Job's a cool dude. I'll prove it. And yeah, so the rest is history.
Cordoned off entirely.
Yeah, I think the Sublime and like the successful result of the test will have the Sublime open, and we'll finally get to see what the fuck they're doing in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it seems like the Sublime has like levels to it, and like Dolores is in, you know, like I guess everyone gets their own world to play with, kind of like Bernard had. I don't know how it works.
Make your own world in there.
I was really hoping we would get some Sublime shit. I was like, when I saw that there was like, you know, I was like, well, there's like 10, 15 minutes left when she got into Sublime. I'm like, fuck yeah, Akeecha's going to show up. We're going Teddy's in here. We're going to find the real fucking Teddy. And then they just kind of, nah, that didn't happen at all.
I mean, 13 and a half minutes of the runtime is the credits and the next time on. I know it's
no after time, credit like, scenes either. I was counting so. On an after credit. No, I know. I sat to the fucking thing stop playing because I was expecting it. And because I'm like, there's no way. Because it also felt like it ended very much like this didn't feel, man, this didn't feel like a satisfying conclusion to the season itself. And that feels risky with Chainsaw McGraw taking over HBO. Like, I do feel like I want to see this show end on its own terms because, you know, maybe it's a flawed, it will be seen as a flawed masterpiece, or maybe season five really brings it home in a way that like makes us all feel like fools for doubting it, everybody. But I was expecting a standalone kind of ending, much like other seasons have been, where if you got more, that would be great. But, and there's a few questions left open, but this thing felt like a cliffhanger, like a part, you know, classic, you know, television cliffhanger, just like it's just going to end in the middle.
Yeah. You know, she's conducting some kind of test. You don't really know exactly what kind of test it is, but
yeah,
something.
Yeah. I've got tons more to talk about, but we also have got, I'm sure, tons of stuff.
And I really want to watch this again before I pass final judgment. But honestly, like I said, I was not super impressed by this the first time around.
And the thing is like, there's no percentage in us saying that. Like, we have been pretty high in this season. It would be really easy to be like, oh yeah, I love this thing. Oh, the India, but like, nah, it's, I thought this was a really strong season. This is the anti other seasons. Cause the other seasons are kind of confusing messes, but they finish strong in season two, and season one, I think is just great. Season two is the most flawed of the season three. I think the first half was bad. And then the second half was great. This I thought was pretty great through the final episode. And then it kind of fell apart here in the finale. If it fell apart.
I need to see it again.
I need to see it again and see what other people thought about it and try to figure out, like, you know, where things are going, all that stuff. But it's not, like I said, it's not a disaster. What it is it's just not confidence inspiring. Like, I was really hoping we'd go into this final season. Hell fucking yeah. Westworld's back. Tell all the dad. But like, now it's like, this is going to have a chilling effect on the fandom, because I'm sure you got friends and family who are kind of out on Westworld, and you've been kind of in their ear, been like, it's pretty good. And, and now what are you going to tell them? That this finale is just like the fucking best thing you've ever seen. And you're like, have no reservations about, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe a few of you out there feel that way. But me, I'm like starting to cover my friend and family recommending ass. I wouldn't like put my neck out there for the show.
Honestly, they should have done a 7-episode season. I feel like this is a season opener.
Dude, him walking across that bridge.
Yes, that's a fucking statement. And yeah, they shouldn't have done this episode this season. and maybe the Christina stuff should have been, you know, retooled to for that fact, so it wouldn't be the climax, because like the climax is not much of a climax.
I think you could just left Christina and all that stuff I don't know, because then you run the risk of what does that look like coming back to just resolve the immediate action between the Man in Black and Hale and all that. It's like,
well, then it, and like sometimes we talked about this for an episode or two, and then you kill him, and you feel like it's final for him. Like right now, I don't know if it's final. I think he's probably going to be back, whatever. But in an episode two where they do all the stuff with, you know, his if that's a future version of him with the missing fingers and the fidelity test, if you do all that and then you fucking kill him in that episode, that feels like a final thing. Where in this episode, I'm like, well, they can just remember him and bring him back and slime again, and like none of it ever feels final.
That here's the other thing. Season two, I've long maintained, was a perfectly fine season that had to do 10 episodes and they only had about enough plot for 6.
Yeah.
We might have hit the nail on the head. Like they learned their lesson. This is a bridge between, you know, like 2 is the weakest episode, a bridge between season 1 and season 3. Is 4 going to be the weakest season, the bridges between 3 and 5? And they realized that they only got 8 episodes and they only needed 7. So it's better than last time. 4 episodes weren't a confusing mess. Just 1 was kind of like,
yeah,
stately paced. And maybe. All right. Anything else you want to say, or shall we get to the people?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. All the other thing is another little show with a little bit of a pedigree is coming back next week on HBO, House of the Dragon. We're going to keep doing this shit. So it's probably too late to get on the Westworld stuff if you're listening to the podcast, especially. But it's not too late if you're like, damn, I wish I'd gotten on all this instant talking on the Westworld. Well, if you're a former Game of Thrones fan, you want to see if House of Dragon is going to redeem the brand, check us out. Go to support.baldmove.com. You can join, get instant access to the full version of the Instant Take podcast, Instant Talk podcast for both this and House of the Dragon. For as little as $5 a month, you get a ton of other stuff too, ad free feeds, etc. support.baldmove.com. Everybody else, come on in to the Instant Talk. Let's see what you guys are saying.